Joining me in the room podcast to talk about his next MMA scrap happening at Cage Titan 64 on March 30th is the Joker, Jay Perrin. What's up, my man? Welcome to the show once and again.
Always good to be here, but I was wondering when I would get the call to come back on this show again after waiting for it, but good to be back.
Awesome, my man. Well, you can always, you know, hit me up, bro. I'm always around, but you're always welcome on here. I know you're a busy guy with the family, new baby, all that other stuff. Yeah. And I appreciate you, you know, right before fight week coming on, man. But let's talk about it, bro. Before we get to the fight and stuff, new baby back in November or so. How's family life and how you feeling about how life is going at this point?
Ah, dude. You know what? It's, you know, like everybody says, it's stressful, but honestly, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love being a dad. She's my entire world. You know, she's changed me in a lot of ways already. So she's only 4 months old, but every day is a new adventure with my daughter. So I'm very blessed and very happy. I live a very, very good life, you know, so I couldn't be more grateful for her and all of the happiness that she's brought me. Particularly even just more selfishly. So I could say that it's going great. You know, I'm just tired.
Well, as far as the difference, because I have asked fighters in this in the past, the difference between, you know, your mind state with a child, a newborn child, your first child, and not having a child. Is it different going into a fight, different thought process, or is it business as usual going into a fight?
I mean, a fight is a fight. You know what I mean? I've been doing it for so long that it's my job. So you clock in and you clock out of it. And but for motivation sake, I guess, you know, for me personally, it's a little different because, you know, having a fight used to be the thing that fulfilled me the most. Do you know what I mean? That was the thing that drove me. It's like, you know, Alex Volkanovski said recently, he's like, I felt like if I'm not in camp, you know, something's missing. Something, you know, what I mean, I couldn't tell you how much that resonated with me because fighting, you know, for most of my life, up until I got out of the UFC, you know, was who I was. You know, it was who I defined myself as. And that was hard. That's hard, especially when you're just kind of lingering in between camps and shit like that. And so for me, my daughter really, she shows me that nothing else really matters. If I win or I lose this, really what matters is if how was I there for her? You know, that's all she gives a shit about. She doesn't care about if I win or if I lose. I'm going to come home and, you know, we're going to love each other and she's going to love me and she's going to want me to be there for her. So, I mean, for me, she gives my life purpose, you know, and meaning beyond myself. And so I guess that is a very driving motivation because I'd like my daughter to see that I worked very hard and that I was very good. So not that, you know, I guess it is a motivation in its own way, but I don't obsess about fighting in the way that I did before. It's more about, I love it again. I love to just fight because, you know what, dude, this is a bonus for me. I get to do what I love to do every day. Every day. I'm in the gym every day. There's no one can deny that. And it's because I love it. You know, it's not because I feel like I'm obligated to, or if I don't, then I'm somehow less whole. I am completely whole now, completely fulfilled because I have my family and the love that I'm surrounded in. So I think that it makes my training a little better because I enjoy it more and I can go back to the passion of it because at the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, it doesn't really matter. I still have my family. That's it. That's the best way I can put that. It was long-winded.
That's all right, man. It was perfect. It was perfect. Yeah. As far as you mentioned the gym, coming back from the UFC, you did have a fight here, you know, last July. But whole new gym here, Lozon, is that your main gym at this point? Are you a Lozon guy? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Lozon guy now. You know, I know they came when I became. to be honest with you, it's not that I really had any, like, falling out with anybody. I live in Fairhaven, you know, so it's 25 minutes away, and Joe was the first person to reach out to me when I came home. He said, hey, man, come get some work. He's like, don't worry about, you know, a membership even right now. Don't worry about any of that. I just want to see you in the gym, and I think that's where you belong. So, you know, just for your mental health. And from there, I just showed up. Now I've just been there, you know, and I started picking up some class. So now I teach there, and you know, that's home for now. And I travel around, but that's home base.
Excellent. And you're training with some of the fighters that you possibly could have been matched up with in the past and stuff like that. How's that feel? Actually, you know, be training with some of these guys that maybe, you know, you wanted to have a fight in the cage and challenge yourself or challenge them.
Some of them were as exactly as fun as I thought they'd be. You know, working with John Duma, particularly, who is a fucking dog, has been wonderful. You know, because if you were to watch, I swear, every time anybody gets a camera on sparring, they never see what we're doing. And it's, you know, every time we end up sparring each other, people go, Jesus, you guys were fucking going crazy. It's such great work and like high level work. So we figured, you know, dude, we've been in the game and haven't crossed paths for 10 years now. You know, if we're not going to fight, we might as well help each other, you know? And so, and that's kind of how we went about it. And Randy Costa was the way that we all kind of came together for when he had a camp when he first came back. So we all kind of helped him. And then we kind of grew this kind of little group that we all kind of keep in talk contact and get sparring and shit in when we can and stuff like that. So it's been really great. You know, I came back, you know, I used to be really confrontational. A lot of people have, you know, I have that reputation, obviously, and I'm very competitive. But if I'm in New England, I'd really like to learn from the best of New England. I want to be what the best of New England can be. And if that means that I have to take, you know, a trip or two to take people that, you know, I'm not going to fight. If you're not going to fight me, then I'm just going to, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. I'd rather work with you than just stay, you know, leave that knowledge in the air and not be able to obtain it. So that's kind of my perspective. I think that everybody can learn a little bit from everyone. And, if not, if you don't learn something, then at least you know where you stand with that person.
Yes.
You know, if you go to a gym and, you know, sparring, everybody says nobody, you know, sparring is sparring. But, you know, when you know you're, you know, standing across from somebody you might fight at some point, you know, you put a little extra pepper on it. You know what I mean? And, you know, you, at least you can measure yourself to that. Yes. So, and it's no hard feelings. Like, I'm not, you know, everybody fights how they fight. It's not like, you know, it's a spy thing or anything like that. It's a... just like I have appreciation for everybody's skill set, and I'd like to learn as much as I can.
Excellent. Well, here we go, man. Second fight back in the regional circuit here and back in Cage Titans, where you've been doing a lot of commentating when you haven't been in that cage, man. How you feeling about getting back in there in that crowd? You like, you know, Cage Titans, every card is bigger than the last, and as they're talking now, this is the biggest card they ever have.
Oh, dude, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, how you feel about, you know, getting back in there in that cage?
Oh, that's going to be... you know what, dude? Cage Titans, when I'm in there, I've been there so many times now, it just feels like home. I'm very comfortable inside that cage. And you know what? I think about it every day. So not like just like a, like an obsession. Like I visualize it. I sit, I close my eyes, and I'm in the cage, and how's the pressure, and, you know, how's he moving? I've done all of this. I've done it all in my mind a billion times. So I'm ready for that. I'm ready for the energy of the crowd. I know it's going to be crazy because for once I'm not going to fight at midnight. I'm probably not even going to be one of the last three fights. Mm-hmm. So, which is cool, which is a testament to the card, which is cool. Maybe I'll be able to like have dinner, which would be great. I've done it a billion times, so I can't wait. You know what I mean? I know the matchup is good. I know that the guy's a hard-nosed fight. He's gonna at least push pressure. I've worked incredibly hard and studied this guy up and down, and I'm just really ready to perform. And you know, the whole UFC thing, you know, when you get released from it, you want to get back. Obviously you want to get back, but there's a little part of you that's like, there's no pressure for that, because like, whether you do or you don't, I can just fight, bro. I just want to fight. I don't care about any of that extra. Do I get signed? What is the plan? I don't fucking know, dude. I really don't. I just want to fight. I'm just here to do this fight right now, and that's all I really need to focus on. So that pressure is lifted from me. I don't have that weight. I can just go out there and do what I love to do at a weight class that doesn't make me kill myself to get to, you know? So I just think off. We're firing in all cylinders, baby. I'm very, very excited to perform next week, and I think it's going to be a good one.
Well, this kid, 5-2, Chris McKate, I do believe he's from the West Coast, California. Tough kid. What do you know about him as far as, you know, fighting him, the matchup? How'd the matchup come about? And, you know, talk about this kid a little bit, because you said, you know, you're going on all cylinders and you're getting ready for a battle here.
He's a so from what I found out and did some digging, he's an NCAA All-American wrestler, I think two times for Arizona. If you ever know anything about Arizona, they do have a pretty decent wrestling program down there. So he's, you know, he's a wrestler. He shoots a lot, but he's very good at it. And being an NCAA All-American means that you're not going to back away from it. Now, his striking's not as good as mine. It's just not, and we all know it's a striker versus grappler matchup. The reason I took it or how it came about was really I asked Bolvere because, you know, when I asked for another fight for March, cause like I said in July, I'm like, hey, I want to take time for my baby, but I'd like to be back for the March card. I got a couple of names that were local, but I was like, you know what, dude, I really just want to fight new people. I'm tired of having the same fucking six people fight or be pitched to fight. I'd like to fight other people. You know, if I'm going to be here, I don't want to travel. Can we get new faces in? And so Mike put the word out, and his manager said, hey, we're looking for something. And I looked him up, and I'm in the first 3 minutes of watching him. I went, for sure, let's sign this.
Let's go.
But, and that's not to disrespect him. I just think the matchup works well for me, if I'm honest with you. You know what I mean, I think that for me, I think the criticism of me, and you know, I critique myself very much. In the last fight, I wanted to strike more, and I didn't because I knew that there was a blaring hole in my opponent's game. And people get on me for shit like that, but I'm like, dude, I'm taking the path of least resistance in every single fight, because when I'm 40, I want to eat solid food, you know? So, yes. You know, I saw the wrestling, I took it. I think the one regret I have in the boot fight is that I got too in love with the rear naked choke, you know, and I wanted to finish it so bad that I didn't transition to anything else, you know? And it's not like I couldn't have, I just got stuck on this one thing. And, you know, that was my fault for that. So I've corrected that. And so he's a wrestler. He's a better wrestler than me, arguably, you know, and I'm pretty good at, I would say. So it's going to force me to use my hands. I'm not going to engage an NCAA All-American in a wrestling match, you know? So, it's putting me in a position that's kind of, this guy's going to try and do what I can do to other people, you know, and, force me into an uncomfortable spot and use a skill set that I really want to display. Because if you've trained with me or watched me train and use my hands, you'll see that I'm very good on my feet. I just see opportunities to take people down and choke them, and I'm going to do that. So, yeah, that's where the matchup kind of sits for me. I just think that – I don't think he's a bad fighter. I just think that for me, I'm too well-rounded for him in every way. And if I can – and when I can keep this on the feet, you know, once I let them go, it's going to be a wrap. I'm going to predict another second-round finish for me. And this one.
Nice. Well, yeah. As far as this week left, what's left to do? I mean, this is going to be your 19th pro fight in there. What's left to do the last week of, you know, training camp?
I just got back from getting punched in my head by Randy Costa and I feel bad for the last time. No,
Wait, is today like the last day of getting really punched hard? Like
I just got this, you know, I mean, I look like an anime character, but like a... so that's nice. You know what I mean? I love fight week.
Yeah.
No one talks shit to me about, you know, I'm just over here on the bike. I'm here sweating. I'm gonna jump rope. You know what I mean? Yep. Shit like that. Let's just get down to weight, dude. But like, again, I'm not a small, I mean, I'm not a huge 45er. I'm probably about a middle of the pack guy. Cause I walk between 65 and 70 normally. So like my water cut is maybe 10 pounds, you know? So the cut's not really that hard. I get to cruise from now on and just kind of recover and, you know, get all the, you know, it's more of cerebral now. It's more watching little tape here and there, kind of seeing what I can adjust to and just staying moving and staying sharp.
Awesome. Last question before I let you give your, you know, shout outs and sponsors and social media. You're at 145. I believe this is your second 145 fight in a row. Is what would bring you to, you know, really not hurt yourself, but kill yourself during training camp to get down to 135. What kind of fight would entice you for you to go back in the bantamweight?
There are certain people that I want to fight, you know, like that would really, you know, the fight's got to be, I don't know, there's got to have weight to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to have, like, I mean, if it's like I said before, I don't care what happens next, but if some opportunity should knock to me, you know what I mean? I'm not going to not take it. You know, I'm for sure going to jump at it. know if it's like, hey, man, you go to 35, you win this one, you get signed again. Or, you know, if the UFC or whatever, the PFL or whoever calls me and goes, hey, man, we need a late replacement. Can you do in like 3 weeks, 35? For sure, 100% we'll do that. But if it's the regional scene, man, and there's not like a belt attached to it, or, you know, hey, this guy's going to move on, or something like that, then I'm just going to take the fights that suit me. And, you know, it's for me, I think a lot with 35 is that I am a big 35er. And I'd rather just worry about fighting, bro, like worrying about the skill of a fight and not, and like the tactics of it, because that takes so much of your fucking time already. To not obsess about every calorie that goes into my body and how much I'm burning. And then I just wasted a camp trying to get fit. You know what I mean? Or trying to burn calories. And that's just not what I'm trying to do. I'm a better fighter than that. And I think in the UFC a little bit, that kind of happened to me, because, you know, you put weight on, you put weight off. It was just a nightmare. So, and the, I'm not going to lie to you, the Raul Rosas weight cut, I almost died. So, I still have a little bit of PTSD from that. So I'm going to take my time at 45. But again, if like I said, if somebody from Florida wanted to sack up and not be a weird circus pony for a bare knuckle show and actually defend their belt, then yeah, for sure I'd do that. Because it's an easy check and I'll get my belt back, a nice shiny one. So that's one. But other than that, if you're not paying me like decent money, and we know what decent money sounds like, and I just don't see what's the reward? You know what I mean? What's the upside for taking that kind of risk to my body as well as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't see it. So I'll take my shots at 45. I've been sparring 45ers for years and I do fucking fine, you know? So that's how I feel about it.
Perfect, man. Well, awesome catching up with you, Jay. It's always an awesome conversation with you. Well-spoken, always smooth with you. I wish you well. Next Saturday night, we'll be cage side watching it with all the boys in the crowd, and sure, you got some training partners that are going to be alongside you fighting in that cage that night. So, again, man, welcome back. Glad to see it. Glad to see everything's working out with you on the personal side and the fighting side, bro. You're a good asset to New England and its fighters and the knowledge you have, and just a great guy, man. Always a pleasure. Last thing, man, shout-outs, social media. Anything you want to say before I let you go last week at training camp?
That would be awesome. Hey, if everybody could follow me on Instagram at @lastlaugh_Perrin, because every time that I'm getting this close to monetizing my Instagram, it decides that it's going to fuck me and delete my profile. So I've had 15,000 followers in total and deleted every time. So
you've had like three Instagram pages in the last.
They delete me. They blocked me out. The last one, I got reported for calling somebody a dunce or something like that. Oh, it was ridiculous. So now I lost like 11,000 followers. So follow me on that. You can follow me on Twitter at @Joker_Gang35. You know what, dude? I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't get any sponsors. You know what? I didn't ask for them.
Yep.
I'm just here to fight, baby.
Awesome.
You know, I don't really give a shit about any of that. If somebody else finds them, if a business wants to hang out with and talk to me about it, fine. But as far as I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm good. I don't need extra money. I'm straight, you know, with how I am. So I could wear fucking basketball shorts and still win. So it doesn't really matter. I'm just here to fight and win. So if after this win I get more sponsors, fine. But, like, I've never been good at hunting them down. Yeah. So if you're a small business and you want to give me money for advertising, you go right ahead. But until then, I'm just here to slang my knuckles, baby. So I'll see you on Saturday.
Awesome, my man. You have a great week, Jay. And thank you so much for the time, man. We'll see you on the 30th, man.
Yes, sir. I'll see you later. Good to see you, brother.